Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome to the BPD Bunch. I'm your host, Zanny, and today I'm here with Mo, Raf, Karis, Selene, and Georgette. Where in the world is everyone coming from today?
I'm from Central Ohio in the U.S.
Melbourne, Australia, from the 38 degree hell that it is right now.
I'm from Southern Ontario, Canada.
From Dubai, UAE.
I'm coming from New Jersey in the USA.
I'm coming from New Mexico in the USA. Today, we're going to talk about BPD episodes. If this kind of topic or BPD-related things are up your alley, please make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss anything. I'm really excited for this topic because this is something that I see discussed in short-form content all over social media all the time. And I'm especially excited because our resident therapist, Lena, who is not able to be on this episode, but she did film a little nugget of wisdom to share with us. So we're going to play that for you real quick, and then we'll dive in.
So a BPD episode is an interesting topic because technically BPD is not a disorder that experiences episodes. What is an episode and what would a BPD episode be is a complicated question to answer. But essentially an episode, when we're thinking of a mental health disorder, is a period where there's a marked or abnormal change in that person's behavior, emotions, etc. So for BPD, there's technically not such a thing as a BPD episode because while the diagnostic criteria is its own complicated thing, technically the diagnostic criteria shows that if you're a person with BPD, you tend to experience most of these things most of the time. That being said, there are definitely periods where certain symptoms can be triggered to present more obviously. So while I may be an emotionally sensitive person 99% of the time, there is that 1% in which my emotions are extremely rapidly changing and feel incredibly unstable, right? Less so than in the past, but I still have my moments, like any human being, where emotions come up and they're intense and they are shifting all over the place. I think for most of us, when we talk about BPD episodes, is a situation in which multiple symptoms are triggered. Myself personally, I like to use the term flare-up rather than episode because I like to think of the symptoms of BPD as I would any other chronic condition. I'm a person who deals with a lot of chronic illnesses, and when those are irritated, they flare up. Is different from sort of like the day-to-day, how I experience them. I also like to use the word flare because I differentiate it for myself. When I think about times where I've had a BPD episode, it's when I've been essentially completely non-functioning. Like when I was 20 years old, I gave up all my possessions to go like live in the woods in Alaska and was like in and out of shelters and all that stuff. Like that to me is a very distinctly different experience from what I might experience now. I think that for a lot of us, typically when we're using the word BPD episode, we're referring to like a really significantly difficult time in our lives.
According to the American Psychological Association, personality disorder is defined any in a group of disorders involving pervasive patterns of perceiving, relating to, and thinking about the environment and the self that interfere with long-term functioning of the individual and are not limited to isolated episodes. And then episode is a noteworthy isolated event or series of events. An episode of an illness is an isolated occurrence which may be repeated. You know, BPD is one of these things that is pervasive enough that, you know, from an external perspective, maybe things are regularly chaotic enough that you wouldn't bother saying like, oh, this is an episode. But I think experientially, like Lena was saying, there are times when the intensity becomes so extreme that at least to us, at least to me, it feels markedly different from my day to day. So what are the ways that you define what an episode looks like for you? What is it? How do you conceptualize what BPD episode is?
I feel like an episode for me would be when my hormones are out of balance. Or I know for sure the last episode I had, it was when I had COVID. So like my system is compromised a lot, or like I had a miscarriage as well. And during that period of time, I was extremely dysregulated because I didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't know I was having a miscarriage. I didn't have any of that information. I just knew that everybody in my life was acting irrationally. And then I realized that it was me.
And for me, I think, well, now looking back, what I've been able to notice is during an episode, I'll be living my life, existing, doing everything, looking around, being like, why is everything a mess? Like, why are all my normal, like, boundaries not in place? I won't actually notice that there's something wrong with them or that they're a sign that something has happened. Some part of my brain doesn't notice that it's something wrong, or doesn't notice that that's something that is a sign that something's going wrong, and just proceeds with whatever action that I'm doing, which is usually what's also making those things worse. It's kind of like your mind's eye being blinded to the world around you, no matter how bad it like it is at that point.
I've just always thought of it as like, I have been dysregulated. Like I've had a flare up or an episode, or as my therapist defines it, which seems a lot less judgmental, is, oh, you were an emotion mind. So I conceptualize it, like if you want a visual of it, of how my mind thinks about it. Normally I'm on an ocean in a boat, and then there will be periods of time where there is a whirlpool, and the whirlpool is going, and that's me and my emotion mind. And I end up sitting like at the bottom of the sea where everything is swirling and coming down at me, almost like the world is being sucked into this place where I am and I can't get out. So sometimes I switch back and forth between the image of me at the bottom of the sea, at the bottom of a whirlpool, or at the bottom of a black hole where there's no way out. So that's how I visually conceptualize it, like in my mind's eye. But I feel like I have just very kind of like almost time limited episodes where I'm completely dysregulated. But I can also now, hearing everybody, I can see that like there have been periods of time where like I have been off for days. But I'm not at the bottom of that whirlpool. I'm just off. Like things aren't, and I can't, and I'm like, what is happening? And then it's like, oh, this is what is happening. I'm in an episode.
I have thought about this topic before the episode, and I hadn't really thought about it in this way. For me, the episode is like the adult in my brain has left the room. So similar to what Raph was saying, like there is no more awareness. There is no more consciousness. There's no more feeling that I have options. You know, there's a complete loss of control, intense emotions, skills breakdown. It's just like, I don't see any way out.
I can still be functioning and feel happy and do all that sort of stuff, but everything around me will be crumbling down. But like, still, life is great. Everything's going well, blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking at me, all my plants are dead. Everything is like ruined. I haven't like taken care of myself in ages. Like, yeah, that awareness, that adult brain, gone.
So basically an episode for me when I was younger was so completely different than what I consider to be an episode now. When I was younger, I didn't even realize I was having one. And it was basically my emotions were so intense that I just couldn't take it. And so I would do all of the self-destructive things that people do with BPD when they don't know how to manage their stuff. Oh gosh. And so then I would make my life even worse. And I didn't even know how to get myself out of it. And so looking back, now I know I was having an episode where my emotions were more intense than normal. And I just fell out of control. And now I can recognize that I'm having an episode because my emotions are still intense and they still feel out of control. But I know that I am in control. I just have to, like, I guess you could say, ride the wave of the emotion. So that's the key difference, is understanding that the episode will pass. I just need to get through it.
For me, it's hard to tell how much of my conceptualization comes from the fact that my like expression of BPD has historically been very, very loud. So I often associate episode with behaviors that are noticeable by other people. And that doesn't always mean lashing out. Like in some instances it has been lashing out, but in others it's been like shutting down and refusing to let anyone in. But that's also an obvious behavior that people notice, right? Like they're trying to reach me. I'm like, nope, not doing this, not participating, running away. I don't really consider dysregulation a defining factor for episode because everyone is emotionally dysregulated at some point in life. I'm trying not to over-pathologize my behavior. So like being emotionally dysregulated to me does not mean I'm having a BPD moment. I'm having a human moment. It's more, is it getting to the point where I'm losing control? Is it getting to the point where I am engaging in self-harm? Am I engaging in dangerous, impulsive behavior? Am I engaging in behavior where I'm frantically trying to avoid abandonment in a way that's destructive to my relationships? If the answer is yes, then I consider that an episode. If the answer is no, I'm a person who's confronted with an emotion that's really intense and hard for me to manage. And having to manage that does not mean that I'm having BPD. It means I'm being a person.
For me, it's similar in a way because I'm able to give myself a whole lot more grace for some of the things that I did in the past. Since I've discovered that I'm autistic, I've realized that what I would have identified as either tantrums or BPD episodes in my life, I would say like 90% of the time, those were actually autistic meltdowns. And they're in direct response to my nervous system being overloaded in some way or to being misunderstood because of my neurodivergent communication styles. And there are so many factors now that I can look at and say, you know what? I'm not being dysregulated. I'm actually perfectly regulated for me. I can make efforts to make myself more clearly understood, but I can't control how they understand me. And if a miscommunication happens and they perceive me as being rude, well, it's unfortunate, but it's nothing for me to feel shame over. And so I've been able to give myself a lot of grace for that.
So my question is for everyone or anyone who wants to answer, do you feel like BPD episodes are always interpersonal, or have you ever had episodes that were completely just you on your own?
Whoa. I have definitely had a bunch that were on my own. I'm glad that you brought this up because when I was going through puberty, I was extremely attached to my childhood. I was extremely attached to being a child, and I could not stand that my body was changing. I just wanted to be a kid and do what kids do and not have to grow up into an adult. And so I was going through puberty, and my mom remembered the time that I had a full-on tantrum in my bedroom because I did not feel okay in anything that I put on. I was just like screaming and crying and clawing at my body like, like, I just wanted to tear myself into a million pieces because I could not stand that change. So those kinds of things, but also boredom. When I got bored, I had to like stir up some chaos, because at the time when I was really unstable with my identity, it was like, if I wasn't intensely engaging with the world, it was like I didn't exist. And so I just, when nothing was happening, I felt like I just had to create something chaotic. So to me, that's another form of BPD episode that people probably don't think about that much, because it doesn't look on the surface as distressed, but it really comes from that place of lack of identity and feeling like unless you're doing something intense with the world, there's nothing there.
I can remember during my like preteen teen years having those kind of breakdowns that were related to, there was nothing interpersonal going on, but the similar, like, I went to JCPenney's and I had a party coming up for seventh grade, and I could not find any clothes that I felt fit my body, and I lost it. I lost it. I held it together in JCPenney's and just started crying on the way home. I don't even remember how my mom handled it. I was weeping. I was hateful. I was, and it all related to feelings about myself that you don't have control over what your body looks like, right? You can't just pick like, well, today my body's going to look like this and tomorrow it's okay to look like that. So it's something that you don't have immediate control over. And it's that, and I just remember like, I did. I'm glad you brought that up, because in my teenage years and younger years, yeah, it wasn't interpersonal. It was a lot related to feelings about myself and involved nobody else.
Initially, I thought all my episodes were interpersonal. And then when I started unpacking it, I was like, nah, actually not. And for me, it was mainly the more depressive episodes that were not interpersonal. Like in the sense of I could spend week, 2 weeks just feeling so depressed and isolating myself from the world and really being in that really dark headspace. And not really even knowing or being aware as to why. And definitely there was no one else like kind of around to stir anything. So it was just interesting to think about that. So thank you for sharing.
What are some of the activators for your BPD episodes, whether external and internal? And what about them makes them significant for you?
For me, activators are times when I feel a loss of control over my life, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of desperation, extreme anger or helplessness.
Yeah, I think for me, the activators, they kind of work in two parts, because also autistic. The activators are going to be things like sharp changes in behavior, particularly like romantic or close relationships. Anything that kind of breaks my trust in those sorts of things, takes away like a feeling of safety, and basically like anything that shows that I'm not being cared for by someone where there was that expectation of that. I think for me, importantly though, my sensitivity to those activators is very much heavily reliant on my environment. So I find that if I haven't been taking care of my hearing, going to loud gigs, done things like that, or not eating as well, or lots of bright lights, or not sleeping as much, like all these sensory inputs are just getting blasted. And because of that, my sensitivity to my activators also goes up. And it kind of ends up being like a magnifier of too much input, sensitivity, emotional sensitivity, and physical sensitivity goes up. And then all these activators are then much more prone to go off. So a lot of the time now, I'm putting a lot more care into my physical well-being, because that reduces the sensitivity of everything else happening there. So now I've got like 3 pairs of earplugs and I stretch every day and I do all this other work.
Earplugs makes a huge difference as an ADHDer, the whole like sensory overload.
Yeah.
Seams. I've thrown away pants because I'm like, I can feel the seams. I gotta get rid of them.
Yeah.
When I was younger, my activators were anything and everything that could upset me. And it was so easy to upset me. now that I'm older, I don't know what my activators are. Because sometimes they just, my BPD episodes like seem to just come out of nowhere, and it just drives me nuts, because then I don't know how to fix it, you know? So yeah, it's strange because, you know, in the past people were my activators for my episodes, and now people in general are not.
Except for when they leave us mean comments.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I'm just sitting here, you're right, because you send me messages and someone will be like, oh my gosh, this person said this mean thing.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. So you're right. Mean comments are like sometimes activating for me, which is how I kind of know if I'm having a moment, or like if I'm driving and I'm like so angry and I have like horrible road rage. That's like, you know, I'm like, okay, Mo, you need to like calm down a little bit, and maybe not drive for the next few hours. But yeah, so the whole like mean comments or reading like ignorant comments online, like it does like make me mad. But I know, for the most part, I know not to respond to the ignorant people, and not just like comments on our podcast, but just comments in general. In fact, today, like before we got on, I was going to like type out this whole paragraph to some douchebag online. I don't even know what the post was. And I'm like, what is the point? Why would I engage with this person? So yeah, Zanny, when I bitch to you, that's just me venting. Cause I would rather like do it to you or do it to Mark than like say something terrible.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
But yeah, thank you for calling me out on that.
I love that you brought that up, Mo, because it still happens to me too. Like sometimes I'll be like feeling really low and be like, I don't even know how I got here. Like, why am I feeling this way? And I've noticed that often it's like a delayed reaction. So it's when I've, you know, put my emotions aside and try to suppress them, and then they kind of linger and eventually come back, and I might have forgotten what happened maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago or however long ago, more than that. And then it's like, oh, now I'm in this episode, and it's having to almost like be a detective of like what is actually happening. But a lot of the time I don't feel like doing that because I'm like, I just want to get out of it. So it's, yeah, it's a tricky one. In terms of activators, I can relate also to Raf, what you were saying about, you know, the internal, like playing such an important role for me, lack of sleep. Like if I haven't slept or haven't slept well, that can really have an impact. But otherwise, generally it will be like external things like high levels of stress. If I feel like there's a lot of expectations, you know, people are counting on me and I committed and I said I would do this and I would do that. And oh my God. And if I don't do it, and that can bring on an episode. Another thing used to be that sense of justice. Like if I feel like something's unfair, like someone's getting something and, you know, I should be getting it, or something is happening that has nothing to do with me out in the world, and I feel like this is so unfair, I can really go into like rage, anger, episodes over that. And then maybe one more thing is like, I find it hard to admit, but I'll do it with you. when I feel like I'm being told that I'm wrong, whether I'm wrong or not, whether I'm not even being told, but I kind of just feel like I'm being told, like someone is actually saying that I'm wrong, and I just really, really can't stand being wrong. And that can bring on pretty intense reactions that can last for some time, and sometimes even affect their relationship or like build resentment and stuff. So yeah, I'm really, really working on this and like owning when I'm wrong. I find it super difficult.
I have that same thing. I've made a list of mine, and I think I will say that the whole like sensitivity based on like your physical state, you know, for me, I very rarely drink alcohol because the way how hard it is for me to regulate my emotions in the days following drinking. Yeah. And the only actual BPD episode that I've had recently was the day after I had been drinking. So for me, the what I would say the five top activators are: feeling criticized, feeling misunderstood, feeling unseen, feeling abandoned, and feeling bored. Mm. So I think those are the ones that really I have to manage those the most.
It's like you went into my brain and plucked that list.
So then the last one is, What can others do to help you in an episode?
I think it depends on who the people are. Maybe they can offer company, just presence. They can tell you, hey, maybe you need to call somebody. Like, I'm seeing this in you. Do you want to call your therapist? That's been something that one of my friends has said when I've been talking to her. Helping me to not feed the emotion. So like sometimes you reach out to somebody and you're kind of, there's this and there's that, these other things. And if the other person is like, yeah, I hate that guy, it's feeding. Now they're feeding the bear. Also somebody validating my emotion, not justifying it, not trying to get logical, but like validating my emotion. Oh, you sound really upset. I'm hearing that you are really sad, validating the emotion. The caveat is it can't be anybody. It has, like, if somebody's trying to help me, it has to be somebody who I feel loves me unconditionally, has my best interest at heart, and is going to want to talk to me the next day. If it's somebody who is kind of like going through that list and doing it, and I don't have that level of love, trust, and safety, they're just going to feed it. So that's something important. If you're seeking help, if somebody is trying to help you, recognizing those who actually can help you versus those who are going to send you down, sinking down your spiral again.
I know with like Danny, my housemate, with her, sometimes her just listening and like kind of just taking everything in is a really good way for me to be able to freely sort of express and get everything out, get the thoughts out verbally. With other friends, it's literally just doing activities can really, really help. With some other friends, partners or casual partners, whatever, it can sometimes just be reassurance. It 100% depends on the person. And I think more specifically depends on my trust in that person and my ability to believe that what they're going to say, I can then trust.
It's like we have different needs from different people. If I'm at work and I'm approaching a meltdown, I have like a couple of people that I know are going to be my safe people to talk to. And those are the ones that I know are going to listen non-judgmentally and then going to validate me and reassure me. Like I'm having this existential crisis at work and I mentioned it to one of the safe people at work and he just like instantly within like 10 minutes sends me screenshots from homeowners about how happy they've been with my work when I come into their home, how I treat them respectfully. And it was just overwhelmingly positive. And it kind of shocked me in the best way. But I guess that's like broadly what we need from everyone.
Like different types and different like methods of doing that same thing, I guess.
Yeah, like listen non-judgmentally and then validate.
So Mo, go. What are some of the things people can do to help you?
I mean, this might seem like the most obvious answer, but ask them, because as you can see, we're all different. We all need different types of support. So my advice is to ask them personally how you can support them or help them through this moment.
One of the things that's challenging about this is that like, well, you can always ask, but like for me, there was a point at which I wouldn't have known the answer.
Yeah.
Right. And so some of it is like, what are some suggestions that people can try? Like in the conversation, of course, like have a conversation with your person and be like, is this something that might be helpful to you that I might be able to provide? Right. So what are some of the things that like your closest people do?
So for me, like the friends who I do go to when I'm having a moment, they know that the best way to help me is to joke around with me and like, just laugh with me and stuff. And sometimes that's hard, because when you're having a moment, you might not feel like laughing. But eventually, for me anyways, like I get to the point of I can at least like chuckle when they start joking around. And then it usually turns into laughter because it's my friends and we always laugh together. But yeah, and I was thinking about that too. Like sometimes I don't know what I need. And I just say that. I say, I don't know. And then like so I go to my husband the most when I'm having a moment, obviously. And so he'll say, well, what do you need right now? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to just chill out? And I'm like, I don't know. And so then we'll start playing card games or something. And then you go from there, you know?
That was the start of my answer as well, around asking questions, you know, what do you need in this moment? How can I help you? Would you want to talk about it? And also questions that help me to bring the adult back in the room. So to bring my awareness back to like, hey, I'm noticing that, you know, you're doing this or you're saying these kind of things, like, you know, should I be concerned? Like, are you aware of it? Like these type of things like really help me. And I have to say to that, like, please don't take the response style personally. So if I'm in an episode, I might answer with anger or even dismiss like the question, like back to, oh, I don't know. I will still later on appreciate that the person asked me. So it's kind of weird, but it's like if you're able to hold that space and not take the way that I respond or what I say in that moment personally, like that really helps. In terms of like, I was thinking about physical space, and it really depends the type of episode. If I'm in a really sad episode, I need a lot of cuddles. If I'm in a really angry episode, I need a lot of space. So it was hard to answer that. But one thing that came to mind was eye level. So one of my really like big outward episodes, I was 17. I was having this massive argument with my boyfriend at the time, and it was in the street outside in my hometown, and I had an absolute meltdown, and I was on the sidewalk crying, like laying on the sidewalk, and he just walked off. Not the best relationship, but hey ho. Anyway, we were kids. Point is, come to eye level. If I'm like melting onto the floor, like it really helps me if the person is not looking at me from above, because that makes me feel like judged, even though you're not being judgmental. Like I just, the kind of distance. So if you're able to sit with me or something like that, like if I'm sitting on a chair or if I'm falling to the floor, it really helps to kind of come to the same physical level as me. Calming words. Again, depends on the situation, depends on the person, but things like that really helped me personally is things like, I got you, I'm here for you, I care about you, we'll get through this. Like the we, it's like, oh, I feel like you're in kind of in here with me, like you get what's going on. And then after the episode, like I really appreciate, and it's only some people I can do this with, but to look back and like talk through like what happened and, you know, how did they felt, how did it make me feel, how can we navigate something like that in the future if it happens again. I mean, this is particularly relevant for like my husband and I and how we've grown our relationship, to really have that communication afterwards and just see like, yeah, how can we navigate this in the future if it happens again, and just be there for each other, because hey, it goes both ways.
Well, that context thing is really important, and this is hard to like want to admit, but I've really thrown a lot of tantrums at people in the past when I felt like they weren't hearing me. And so like if I'm having an episode about something that is not related to the person in front of me, especially like sadness, then cuddles and hugs and all of that is great. And even if I am expressing, you know, my fears of abandonment with that person, the hugs and loves, like my husband will often say, you know, we're okay. Like, I'm not going to leave you. And he gives me a hug. And there have been times where I have been especially nasty. And when that happens, for my long-term recovery, the most important thing people can do is not reinforce it. It doesn't mean get up and walk away. But like my husband has said to me things before, like, I love you, I'm not going to leave you. and you cannot talk to me like this. You cannot say these kinds of mean things. Like, it's damaging to our relationship. And he's like, I am happy to give you a hug and hold you if that's what you want. I'm just not going to do it while you're telling me that I'm the scum of the earth.
Zanny, how does that make you feel, though? Like, do you get defensive, embarrassed, or do you accept it?
I've never loved that. And I've thrown tantrums back, but I recognize that when I yell at people and like sort of beat them into showing me love, they're not really loving me. Even though in that moment, maybe I'm getting what I feel like I need, I'm ultimately suffocating the relationship and they will leave eventually because nobody can handle that forever. And having that realization and wanting to have a long-term relationship with him, I told him relatively early in our relationship that if it felt like I was trying to bully him into behaving a certain way, that it was important for him to let me know that I was crossing a line lovingly and kindly. You know, like, he repeats that he loves me and that he's not going anywhere. And he's not gonna, you know, put up with me verbally abusing him. Like, I am not going to put up with this.
I deserve respect.
I love that, Karis, because it's such a positive way of phrasing it, rather than I don't want that. It's like, I deserve respect.
I wrote down a lot of things that people can do to help me, and things that people have done to help me in the past. So first of all, help me identify what's wrong, because sometimes I don't know. One of my autistic traits is that I have a hard time recognizing like when I'm actually hungry or when I'm tired, or like figuring out which one of my meters it is that I need to bring up. So, that's like a big one. It's okay to remind me like, hey, you're sick. You might be overreacting a little bit. Obviously that's coming from somebody that I trust. Also, like, reassure me and help me get somewhere safe, because if I feel like a meltdown is coming on, it's either going to happen externally, meaning it's going to be like loud, I have to like cry or scream or something, or in order for like it to happen, it's going to happen inside, which means that it's going to be a lot of like negative self-talk. I'm going to like internalize a lot of that emotions like on myself. So it's a lot healthier for me to be able to get that energy out. So help me find a safe place where I'm able to have a little meltdown, whether it's just like letting me cry or like hug it out or something. And sometimes I need space. So like it just, but always, 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 I'm going to need patience, reassurance, and to be away from like a big group of people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I think that you're like absolutely right. Having the support of other people is really, really helpful. I think it's also important to like find ways to be that person for ourselves as well. I don't know about you all, but I have a very mean inner critic. And so one thing that I like try to do and find helpful is to have little sentences that I will like tell myself to get through these type of moments. And one of them is, we can do hard things. So I'll just repeat it to myself in my head. We can do hard things. We can do hard things. We can do hard things.
My partner and I have been saying that to each other.
My BPD bestie and I, we say that all the time. Like,
Really?
Yeah, we can do hard things.
We can do hard things. We have done hard things. We're doing hard
things.
We will do hard things. All the tenses. Just cover all the bases.
We got it all. Love that. That's really nice.
Thank you, everyone, so much for watching. I hope that you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. We'll be back on Friday with how to survive a BPD episode. And next week, we'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode topic. Make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you do not miss a single episode. And we will see you next time. Bye!
Bye.